it's an exciting sign of the times in El Salvador that the groundwork that was laid to really try to reorient the priorities of the government to be more oriented towards the needs of the majority was very impactful on the population, and that spurred people to be willing to take a little bit more of a political risk and continue to choose a government that was much more strongly aligned with their interests than those of the financial elite that has typically and historically governed El Salvador. So that's an exciting sign for El Salvador. On the other hand, of course, the elections were very close. And so that, I think, was a sign more of anything of how committed and how many resources the financial elite has to continue to protect their political vehicles in El Salvador and throughout the region. And so I think even though the people's will was definitely towards continuing down this path of change, it's hard to say with that close of a margin that there's a really strong mandate the way that one would hope for the kind of courageous governance that is going to be needed. So I think it's not going to be an easy path forward. And I think the right wing Arena's party's refusal to recognize the results is a concerning sign that they will continue to obstruct the kind of progress that the government of Sánchez Serén is going to try to push forward in El Salvador.
Speaking of that, after the court's ruling a few days ago, is it over or will there be more of a process and more challenges?
From what I understand, although the results are final, Sánchez Serén is the president-elect, and his transition team has already met with the Funes administration to discuss the transition to June 1st when he'll be inaugurated. It's clear that the right wing's legal strategy to continue to try to undermine that victory is going to continue.
And this was the first presidential election in which people, El Salvadorans living abroad, could participate. What was the turnout there and what impact did that have?
The turnout for Salvadorans who were voting absentee for the first time was unfortunately a lot lower than had been expected. I think at the end there were about 10,500 people who were able to register to vote, and that had a lot to do with sort of bureaucratic, legal, and logistical challenges. Nonetheless, it was a very exciting commitment that the government had made to open the right to vote to all Salvadorans, especially since it's almost a third of the country's population living outside. It's almost 3 million people who, if all the paperwork could go through, might be in a position to be eligible to vote. And we'll be very interested in following how that process evolves, because the voting preference of those who were able to cast their votes was very clearly in favor of the governing party, the FMLN. It was almost 2-1.
Leading up to the election, your organization called on the U.S. Congress and the State Department to declare their neutrality and stand by that. What sort of influence were you worried about, and did any materialize?
In the past, in almost every election that we can remember, there were very clear overtures made to Salvadoran voters that there would be consequences if they voted for the FMLN, which previous to 2009 had never been elected to the presidency. And I think that had in part to do with the fact that Salvadorans were concerned about what the impact would be in terms of U.S.-El Salvador relations, which are obviously of a very high priority given El Salvador's economic dependence on the United States and given how many Salvadorans have family members living in the United States. So when you had, under the Bush administration, representatives of the State Department saying that El Salvador relations would be in jeopardy, or you had members of Congress making explicit threats that temporary protected status would be revoked for Salvadorans if the FMLN won, it had a huge impact in terms of scaring people out of voting for the party that they may have otherwise chosen. And we wanted to make sure that leading into 2014 that the United States wouldn't be taking sides in the election. And we were really happy to see that there were over 50 members of Congress who signed a letter to the State Department. The State Department made multiple and repeated comments before the elections and after the elections as well. This was the Salvadoran people's decision, that they would respect it and that they would work with whomever was elected. We're a bit concerned at the moment because although Salvador Sanchez-Cerén has been declared the president-elect, we have not yet heard any comments from the State Department or the Obama administration congratulating him on his victory, whereas other presidents in Latin America have already reached out to congratulate him on the win. And I think it's an important sign, especially if the Obama administration, as they have said that they want to do, sort of turn over a new leaf in terms of U.S.-Latin America relations, would be to follow that example. And now that he's been declared president-elect, call to offer congratulations and talk about moving forward in the bilateral relationship that's very longstanding between the two countries.
When you were just down there, what were some of the things voters said was most important to them as they went to cast their vote?
I would say the two things that were the predominant trend in the elections, which has been true for the last couple of electoral cycles in El Salvador, has been the economy and this insecurity situation, as they call it, of sort of crime, violence, the gangs. You know, there's a very fragile truce between the two gangs, and there was a lot of questioning leading up to the elections about whether that would hold, whether it had already fallen apart, to what extent various government actors had been involved in brokering the truce or helping the two gangs to broker the truce. But definitely those were the two issues that people talked about the most. And I think El Salvador is in a very difficult financial situation over the last 5 years. You know, there's been a lot of jobs that were created. They were done so through sort of reorienting public funds and opening up a lot more public funds. But it's slow and small compared to the need. It's definitely the reason why so many Salvadorans have had to leave the country in the post-war period has been because of economic insecurity and then also because of the high levels of crime and violence people are experiencing. And those two things, I think the FMLN's platform has really tried to address together, in that the reasons why people are in the situations of gangs and crime that they are has a lot to do with the lack of economic opportunities. So the orientation has been more towards rehabilitation and to prevention and to job training and job creation. But it's a very, very slow process, and people's needs for it to change is much faster than the kind of long-term work that is obviously required to address such a deep-seated situation in the country. So it's going to be a huge challenge moving forward.
That was Alexis Stumbelis, executive director of the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador, speaking with FSRN's Alice Olstein. Stumbelis just returned from a mission to monitor El Salvador's presidential election.